Well, good morning to family near and far on this Sunday, July the 5th. We're thrilled that you've joined us, and welcome to all of you. I trust that you're finding places to be cool. We're in for another hot week. I've heard the prognostication of the fellas and gals that look after weather, and they have said we're in for quite a long stretch, 2 or 3 weeks possibly. So I trust that you're able to do your work and stay cool. I want to let you know that Don and Steve Robinson were able to cross the border, and they're now home. They're under quarantine. But just a reminder, Don has brought back vanilla extract from Mexico. A number of you had asked her to do that before they went in the fall. And so if you're one of those folks that had asked for some, would you please contact Jane Hamilton? And she has compiled the list and will continue to do that and then pass it on to Don. We don't have any birthdays this week, but we do have two announcements, anniversaries. We want to wish Andrew and Andrea Hamilton a very happy anniversary for July the 9th, and John and Monique a very happy anniversary for July the 10th. And so to each of those couples, what a terrific milestone. Want to now give you some updates for prayer and praise. First of all, the McMeekins arrived safely to reach their family in I think it was Vernon, BC, and they went through a horrific hailstorm in Medicine Hat. So they're very grateful to have arrived at their daughter's home. Also, you may have heard Sheila had to go into hospital for a day. And so she had an abscess, which Dr. Lacey lanced, and so she's feeling much better. But she does have wound care specialists coming in every day, and, of course, she's healing, but would appreciate all of our prayers. I talked to Rhoda Bowman. Her husband, Rob, came home this week from rehab, and he's walking fairly well on his new foot. He has a walker. And hopefully this week we'll start to be able to go outside and have little walks. But they're getting adjusted to everything with PSWs. And he, of course, he's very glad to be home. And Rhoda told me that he's also eating a lot more than he was eating in the hospital. And that probably has to do with the quality of food. So we're thrilled for the two of them. So pray for them. Also, we have a number of folks that are getting ready to go back into the workforce. And so they're heading into training days, et cetera. And so what'd you think of them as businesses are trying to start up and people are starting to get back into the workforce? And for all of us, I don't know how you're finding it, but I think with all the upheavals, advice is changing daily. And sometimes I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'm coming or going. And so if you're feeling that way, then just know the Lord's in charge. And hopefully we're getting answers and be able to move forward as we head into the middle of July. So with that in mind, I would like to pray and open our service with prayer and just pray a blessing on each one of us. Father, for this time together, we give you thanks. And again, we have come through a busy week. Many decisions have had to be made, and we're heading into another busy week. And Lord, all around us, especially in Wasega Beach, there is a lot of concern about personal safety. And there is a lot of stress in our town with people. I've noticed that in working at the food bank, that people are feeling overwhelmed. And I know many in our church family and our friends are trying to deal with ongoing scenarios, health issues, traveling issues, home issues, and just trying to figure out what they themselves think and believe. And so, Lord, we just pray that each one of us will really sense your presence today and know that you're working, that you love us, and that you've got great plans for us that are far beyond what we could ask or think. And so, Lord, for all that we're going through, for those that are starting into new job training, for Rob and Rhoda, and for others, Lord, Sheila and Roy, and others that are going through physical issues that require your expertise, we just look to you to help us. And so, Father, as we have this time together, we ask your blessing on each and every person as they watch or listen to this service today. Thank you for being such a tremendous God and for what you're going to be doing. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. And I want to just tell you that we've got some special guests again that are going to be playing two special selections for us. And so...
I heard the click. She set the camera off by accident instead of video.
We'll remember Don and Donna. We haven't had a chance to be together in the church, and they're here to play for us two very special selections. So I'll turn it over to them, and I know you're going to enjoy listening to them.
Good morning, everyone. Donna and I are going to play a first piece, Restore My Soul. And I hope that this will be encouraging to you people as you go about your daily duties in this coming week. We do need... put this back and put it all behind us and think about what we can do with restoring our soul.
It's a real privilege to have Don and Donna with us today, and they're going to do two very special selections, and we're thrilled they're here, and we know that you'll be blessed as you listen to them.
Good morning, everyone. We're just going to play a couple of pieces for you here this morning, and the first one is going to be Restore My Soul, and since there's so many problems in our district and all in our country, too, that we need to look up back and restore our souls back to what we feel they should be. And we just would like to play this piece for you now. Thank you. dying on the cross, and he did it for our sake, to save our souls and our sins, and it was for you.
This morning, I would like to continue on the topic, don't let your guard down. In these ever-changing times, we have an excellent opportunity to evaluate where we are focusing our attention. The world may be screaming all kinds of information, and there may be all kinds of things going on, but what about you and I? Where is our focus? And the question I left with you last week is, as Christ followers, are we focused on the one who owns everything and seeks to meet the needs of his children, Or, as Christ followers, are we primarily focused upon the temporary reality of money and possessions? And again, it's a good reminder as we head into the summer. I don't know if you're noticing, but in the town where we live, obviously in Wasega Beach, boats are being transported everywhere. People are buying all kinds of goodies, and things of all nature are being purchased. And again, where as Christ followers are we focused? So I want to pick up on the ideas that I left with you. We covered two ideas last week, and I'd like to continue on. The third point is this. God wants to meet his kingdom needs on earth. God has a plan for you and I to be involved directly in what he's doing in this globe that we live on. And it starts with very simple things. Paul to the church in Corinth says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So what does that look like for you? Is that involving having some activity you're going to meet somewhere and have a cup of coffee with them, of course, maintaining some social distance? But what is it like to meet the needs of the saints? I've been amazed at how many times people have opened their pocketbooks to help other people and or providing some kind of support. In Acts 4, Paul says that there was not a needy person among them. Actually, Luke records this. This is after, of course, Pentecost. For as many as were owners of lands and houses, they sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and was distributed to each as any had need. And so I think you and I can look at that and say, okay, what needs do we see around us? Do people need conversation? Do people need to have some kind of a tangible video chat, or would it be helpful to go and bring a lawn chair and sit out and talk to them? What is it that people need, and what do those needs look like? And I think the day we're living in, there's a lot of need for emotional and mental support. People are lonely, and people are scared, and maybe one of the things we can do is bring factual clarity and a listening ear. Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have the opportunity, let us what? Do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. If you have somebody in mind or comes to your mind, give them a call. Say hello. Don't be afraid to initiate something. This is part of the way God's kingdom is being met on earth, in the household of faith and then beyond. The fourth thing is that God wants us to give to world evangelism. And you know the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, commanding them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what does that look like when God asks us to be involved in world evangelism? It's been interesting. I have picked up an additional responsibility through this pandemic, and that is that I am working at the food bank on Thursday nights, and I'm one of the volunteers, and we try to have different pastors at the food bank whenever it's open. And so my role is to be there to greet and talk with clients. But it's been fascinating, the discussions that I've been able to have with folks there, but also the discussions we have been able to have among the volunteers in whenever there's been a lull as clients are not there. And what's interesting is that some of our volunteers are actually confiding in issues and things. One fellow told me recently, he said, I'm sharing things that I've never told anybody before. And so this is all part of a credibility as Christians, and so people around us feel a security and an openness to be able to share, and this is what I've been noticing even in working in the food bank on Thursday nights. Paul says in Romans 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, meaning call on Jesus or God the Father, and how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And I don't think many of us are thinking that during this pandemic time, we're actually in world evangelism. But we really are. And in Wasega Beach, the world is coming to us for all intents and purposes. And so I leave that with you to think about. The fifth point that I think is important in this whole focus of where we are with God is God wants us to pay taxes and other financial obligations. And this is sometimes a tough one to swallow. But Matthew, in his recording in chapter 17, tells a story of when Jesus and Peter came into Capernaum, and the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" So, I mean, you talk about in your face when it came to taxes. They had that in the Galilean region. And, of course, Peter said, "Well, yes, he does." And when he came into the house, it says, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And Peter said, "Well, of course, from others." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." And then he goes on to say an interesting thing. "However, not to give an offense to them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself to pay the 2 drachma tax." Incredible. And then also Matthew records. I remember Matthew was a tax collector. So if anybody had an interest in taxes and money, Matthew did. And so what he records here is interesting. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're having quite a dialogue. And the Pharisees said, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And I'm sure it was said in a very condescending tone. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarii. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. So again, God wants us to pay our taxes. The sixth point is that God has enough resources for every one of our needs. He can cover us anytime, even before we ask. And we have the opening sermon that Jesus gave. In Matthew, he records it in chapter 6. "Do not be like them, for your Father," what? "Knows what you need before you ask him." Now notice it doesn't say "knows what you want" before you ask him, because I think there's a big distinction. The Lord knows we need to live, and the Lord knows we need to eat, and the Lord knows we need to sleep, and the Lord knows we need provisions for life. And our Father in heaven knows those needs even before we ask. And that doesn't mean we don't ask, but we ask knowing that he is a provider for us. And Matthew records Jesus just a few minutes later saying in the prayer that he taught the disciples, "Give us this day" what? "Our daily bread." So please provide the things we need to eat. And we know the Israelites got manna for 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, he provided quail and manna. I mean, God provides for every need. And Paul says in Philippians 4, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And again, the physical needs of life, God's fully aware of. And I think, too, what's interesting is God sometimes wants to bless us through others' financial and practical resources. And God can do it anything. I mean, if we look at 1 Kings 17 and verses 6 through 9, God even used birds to feed Elijah. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise and go to Zarephath. That belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have what? I have commanded a widow to feed you." He knew that he needed practical help, and God used a widow to help a great prophet. And then in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, the successor of Elijah, who of course is Elisha, he goes into Shunem, and a wealthy woman lives there, and she urged him to eat some food. And so whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. I mean, he accepted the hospitality of this lady, and she fed him. And then one day she said to her husband, "Behold, I know this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. So let's bar the door, pull in the welcome mat. Let's not talk to him anymore." "No," he said, "let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put in him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." Again, very practical ways of helping people. And I've heard even this past week, one of the ladies in our church is moving into a nursing home, and so folks in the church were able to get various pieces of furniture and things and lawn chairs, a real blessing all the way around. When Jane and I were pastoring in Etobicoke years ago, we had a lady, she was a widow lady, she'd had a terribly tough life, incredible woman, had raised her three children on her own, but she wouldn't take any assistance in any way. And one day, I felt a strong leading to give her a ham and some provision for a nice meal, and she said, I won't take it, I just won't take it. I said, look it. We want to give you this as a gift. No, no, I think it's charity. I don't want to receive it. I said, okay, your son is coming up from Oklahoma. Yes. Well, I want you to take this ham and these potatoes and these vegetables, and I want you to make him a nice dinner, and you can enjoy it with him. Okay, I'll do it. And so again, I think we've got to be careful that we don't fight when people are trying to be generous. It's a question of being gracious and letting the Lord bless us even through other people and situations. And finally, I believe that God wants to work supernaturally in our lives. If our focus is on Him, He's determined to do what is ever necessary to build up our faith. And so we have another story from the Old Testament in 1 Kings 17. And here's a lady who's talking to Elijah. She's also in a very bad way. And so Elijah has a discussion with her. And this is her response. And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked." Notice she said, "the Lord your God." So her faith must have been at a real low ebb. "I've only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And so the woman did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. And then another story with Elisha in 2 Kings 4. The wife of one of the servants, sons of the prophets called to Elisha and said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" She said, "Your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few, and go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and your sons, and pour into all these vessels, and when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him, shut the door behind herself and her sons, and she poured. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her, and when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another one." Then the oil stopped flowing. And so she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." The provision of God is far beyond what we can understand. And we don't understand what he's doing in the unseen as well. But the Lord knows every one of you, and he loves you with an incredible love. And he's absolutely determined that as you follow his son and as you love him, you will be blessed. Never forget that it's God who prospers you. And as I conclude this morning, I want to read you from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's a phenomenal story, which I think, even though it's over 1,200 years before the birth of Christ, I want you to hear it for yourself. And so I'll read this to you. It says, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." So again, the Israelites have left Egypt. They're about to enter in the Jordan, cross the Jordan River, and come into the land of Canaan. "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to understand that a man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills." Can you see that in your mind? What a picture. "And a land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. And a land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you shall dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good homes and have lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. God led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, God fed you manna, which your forefathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may have said in your heart, 'My power and my strength of my hand has made this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he might confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, you shall surely perish because you did not listen to the voice of your God." And so again, as we conclude this service today, the reminder is that the timeless love of God is again a tremendous integral part of our lives. And all he asks of us is, do not forget what I have been doing for you. Do not forget how I've led you, how I've protected you, how I've healed you. And this is, again, words for today in the midst of this pandemic that we are going through. And so let me conclude with these words of David, which so is in keeping with what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. In Psalm 37, we have the following: "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." And then David goes on in verse 23 to say, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread." And then in verse 34, I end with this verse from David: "Wait for the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you. to inherit the land. Doesn't that sound like Jabez? Enlarge my boundaries, O Lord, that I might faithfully serve you. So let's pray together as we head into this new week. Father, we again thank you for all the provision and all the blessings that you give to us. Remind us that beyond all that this world offers, first and foremost, is our desire to love and serve and obey you. For you are the great provider of all that we have and all that we will receive in the days to come. And it's your blessings that bring life and health, and it's your sustaining presence that give us courage and freedom from fear. So bless this family this week, Lord. If they feel that they are deviating and are not focused on you as they should, would you draw them back? Would they, with new intent and endeavor, seek to serve you and love you first above all things? And remind them that you give them their daily bread, and that in you all things do work out together for good because they love you. And so with this in mind, Lord, may your peace be upon us all this day. May your provision be clear. May your security be surrounding us, and may your power go before us. And may the love of a great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, envelop each one of us today and in the days to come. Amen.